This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Very good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you for asking. We have so many important conversations to have. It's just actually quite incredible. And I want to start off with that horrific story that broke yesterday about a gay Palestinian man being beheaded. That is a very bizarre story. Just tell us about this.
Well, it's just horrific. So this was a young gay Palestinian man, 25-year-old Ahmad Abu Murkiye, who was living in Israel under asylum. And nobody knows quite how, but he seems to be either kidnapped or managed to find his way back to Hebron, where he initially came from, and was apparently beheaded on his arrival in Hebron, and the video, the recording of his murder, was uploaded to social media. It's just absolutely shocking and horrific, and this was reported in the Hebrew media yesterday. So he had been living in Israel for at least 2 years, and it's not unusual for members of the LGBTQ plus community or Palestinian community to try and find or get asylum in Israel where they know they will be safe. So it is still unclear how he ended up back in Hebron, but this is the situation at the moment. Absolutely staggeringly awful.
And has anyone taken responsibility? Who posted this video of him being beheaded in Hebron?
Well, it is believed that it could possibly have been family members that could have done this. It's still under investigation. They apparently do have a suspect. The details of the suspect have not been made public, other than the suspect is currently being interrogated. And a spokesperson for the Palestinian Authority police described it as a new kind of crime in Palestine, and urged people to refrain from circulating the video. So, you know, we don't quite know what to read into that. We don't believe that it's a sanctioning of anything, but it really is absolutely shocking. And just as shocking is that we haven't heard much from the international community or from the usual suspect to have a lot to say about the state of Israel.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, you know, obviously we hear if a journalist is killed in a war zone, we hear massive condemnation. We hear things about investigations. The world press takes this on in a vehement sort of a way. Here's a young man who had found asylum in Israel because of his sexual orientation and who has been beheaded back in the Palestinian territories, and there's almost not a word. There's no word about this. Surely the LGBT community themselves should be marching throughout the world from in protest to this heinous crime against a member of that community.
Well, it is extraordinary. You know, so often Israel is accused of pinkwashing issues. You know, when we talk about this kind of treatment of Palestinians, what happens in the territories, in particular Gaza, to the LGBTQ plus community. Here we have a very, very clear example, and those who accuse us of pinkwashing are shtum. They seem to have taken some kind of silencing drug. You know, it really is quite uncanny, but you know, maybe I'm cynical or I've just worked too long in this field, but I do believe that when we do have issues like Shireen Abu Akleh, where it still is indeterminable who was responsible for firing the fatal bullet, that is politicized not out of caring for the victim, but because it is used as an opportunity to castigate and villainize Israel as much as possible. This particular horrendous issue is one that human rights activists should be leading with. We're looking around the world as everybody comes out in solidarity with the women of Iran, as they should do, and as we did in Israel yesterday with a demonstration in Jerusalem in solidarity and in support. Where is the LGBTQ plus community, and where are the human rights experts on the brutal and heinous murder, which part of me actually believes could be an honor type killing, depending on who the perpetrator is. You know, we know about honor killings that take place in communities around the world where the victim is believed by the perpetrators to have brought shame on their family or on their community. Where are the outraged voices?
It's almost as though there is just, it's because perhaps there's an inconvenient and uncomfortable reality as to what is going on in some of the Palestinian territories. We see this with Gaza as well, where there seems to be an assumption that that you can be critical of Israel as well as critical of what goes on in those areas. And I find the world, I find it so simplistic and so infuriating that we can't see that those two things can live side by side. Even if you're a Palestinian activist, that's cool. Be critical of Israel. Maybe your heart lies with the Palestinian people and not with Jewish people. I get that. But surely the recognition of this type of thing, of the terrible circumstances, for example, that Hamas forces upon residents of Gaza, why do we never talk about that? Why is that almost this agreement of silence that we are never allowed, that the world media just doesn't talk about it?
Well, that's a very good question. And I do believe that a lot of it is agenda pushing and wanting to look as if they're standing up to who they perceive as the underdog. And we can look at the inverse of that. If you are pro-Palestinian, which I believe the majority of us are, we want the best for our Palestinian neighbors. Does that mean you have to be anti-Israel or have to demonize Israel? You know, why, as you just said, why do we have to simplify things? This is probably the most complex conflict in the world right now. It has been for decades. So why try and simplify something very, very complex by just making it you're either pro one, and if you're pro one, you have to be anti the other.
Very concerning indeed. This is also really concerning. The IDF on alert in the north as maritime deal falters. I don't understand this. This deal was positive, right? So if it fails, that's obviously not a good thing, but why would that lead to a military conflict? I'm really confused.
Well, I think it's just a very, very good precaution put in place by Defense Minister Gantz and the IDF Chief of Staff, Aviv Kochavi. We know that Hezbollah, which is an Iranian-backed proxy, is looking for any opportunity to try and engage Israel in some kind of conflagration, or at least to flex their muscles. Hezbollah in Lebanon is becoming more and more irrelevant by the day. Lebanon is practically a failed state. And Hezbollah have threatened on numerous occasions through these negotiations that, you know, if there's anything that as part of the proposal that they don't like, which of course could be anything when you're talking about Hezbollah, that they will not hesitate to fire on Israel. Now we've had this last minute amendment put forward to a deal that was almost signed, sealed, and delivered by the Lebanese side that has really taken the American negotiators kind of left of center. You know, they're saying that these are quite preposterous amendments that, you know, from Israel's perspective, we have to be prepared for any eventuality, both offensively and defensively. You know, there could be the possibility that Hezbollah might try and strike the natural gas fields, and we've got to defend those as well, or try and fire rockets onto Israeli sovereign territory. So we're preparing for any eventuality. You know, you will have heard in the last years or so our army making sure that the message is made quite clear to Iran and certainly to Iranian-backed proxies, we will not tolerate any attacks of any kind on Israeli sovereignty, and we will prepare for any eventuality, whether it is dealing with the Iranian nuke deal or whether it is dealing with very, very important negotiations around this maritime border.
Absolutely. Well, let's hope that this doesn't escalate, and let's hope that it is just a precaution. First Israeli-led resolution at the UN Human Rights Council. Tell us about it.
Well, you heard that right, everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very important resolution. This is an anti-cyberbullying initiative, and it has been roundly praised as Israeli diplomacy at its best. So finally, at the United Nations Human Rights Council, there has been something that is pro-Israel. In fact, it is the adoption of an Israel-led resolution. So this resolution that has been led by Israel, co-sponsored by Greece and co-sponsored by Switzerland, have put forward this resolution to deal with the scourge of cyberbullying. Now, we know that Israel and Jews are probably amongst the most cyber bullied in the world as far as issues of anti-Semitism, hate are concerned. But this is specifically focused on dealing with child cyberbullying. I think we have seen horrific statistics over the last couple of years, specifically during the pandemic lockdowns, bullying online, growing suicide ideation, suicide statistics amongst children as a result of cyberbullying. We know what a nefarious place social media is, and the resolution puts forward a proposal on how to counter this, and specifically focuses on people with disabilities.
Amazing.
So it's a very, very important, a very, very positive resolution. Argentina is also a co-sponsor of this. And let's see if we start to see more effective conversations and legislation being passed around cyberbullying.
Well, that would be really amazing, especially because, as you said, that Israel leading a resolution at the UN Human Rights Council. Finally, Spain becomes the latest country to rule BDS as discriminatory. It's come a very long way, hasn't it? All of the countries. Just give us a bit of a summation on this.
It has, and I had to have a giggle to myself this morning when I saw BDS tweet out how, you know, Israel is growing more and more irrelevant and BDS is growing in its prowess. And I had to tweet them the article saying, yeah, not everybody agrees with you. Spain is the latest country. So let's keep a list, guys. We have the United Kingdom, the United States, Austria, Germany, and now Spain, as well as various other cities around the world who have all declared BDS, that's the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement that targets Israel for laws of boycotting Israeli artists, boycotting Israeli products, divestment, taking money out of Israel or any companies that are investing in Israel. We've seen the whole issues around Ben and Jerry's and sanctions, which hasn't really been a major deal as yet. I mean, we have heard calls amongst the squad in the United States to sanction aid to Israel, but the Supreme Court of Spain ruled that the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movements targeting Israel is discriminatory, and they've upheld a decision by the lower court that they will not allow what they call apartheid-free zones across Spanish cities and across Spanish municipalities. Now, various other countries have that law in place as well. I know that there are parts of Germany, parts of France, parts of the United Kingdom that disallow this. In fact, in the most recent parliamentary speech given in the United Kingdom that was read out by then Prince Charles on behalf of his late mother, he spoke about the fact that this was part of the agenda of the United Kingdom's government, which was to disallow this kind of rhetoric. And now we see it in Spain, which is extremely important because Spain in recent years has not been seen as extremely pro-Israel and have allowed for this kind of discriminatory rhetoric, to flourish. And now we see this major decision, which is a massive, massive slight to BDS. And of course, this has been welcomed by various organizations such as ACOM, which is the Jewish community communal body in Spain, and fits in with the IRA definition of anti-Semitism.
Absolutely incredible, and what an amazing step in the right direction. Spain becomes the latest country to rule BDS as discriminatory. Rolene Marx, this is Where We Love and Leave You. Hope you have a Shabbat Shalom, have a Chag Sameach, and we, of course, will catch you next week.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.